Convene the House Committee on Energy, Environment, and Water. Thank you all for being here. And I'd like to first announce that we're going to flip the schedule that you saw, and we're going to now open a work session on House Bill 2189.
Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 2189 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Chair Cannon moves moves House Bill 2189 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Good bill should pass.
Seeing very little, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Bailey?
Aye.
Representative Vance?
Aye.
Representative Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair
Boone?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Cannon?
Aye.
Co-Chair Billion?
Aye. The measure passes unanimously. And now, because of his personal association with this bill and his understanding of rural Oregon, I'm going to ask Representative Hunt to carry the bill. Bence. Representative Bence, would you consider carrying that bill?
I'm happy to carry the bill. Sure.
Representative Bence agrees to it, and I am now going to close a public hearing on House Bill 2189 and also the work session on House Bill 2189. All the help we can get. And I'd like to move on now to what was our first item, and I'd like to open the first public hearing on House Bill 2900. And I'd first like to ask our own Representative Bailey and the former representative, now Senator Edwards, to come forward. Welcome, both of you. Self-select.
Thank you, Co-Chair Gilliam, Co-Chair Cannon, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jules Bailey. I have the honor of representing House District 42 in Inner Southeast and Northeast Portland. And I have to say, first off, that I'm shocked. Actually, I thought everybody's here for 2189. I didn't realize people in the room for the subsequent bill. But you may end up having the best attended, shortest hearing of all time here, depending on how many people actually signed up to testify. We'll see. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about House Bill 2900 with my colleague, Senator Edwards, and to talk to you a little bit about the rationale behind this bill, the history behind this bill, what it intends to accomplish, and what we hope the process will be going forward. And I would hope that you would obviously feel free to interrupt at any time with any questions or clarifying information that you need. Be happy to answer any hardballs you care to pitch at us. So first off, I want to start with an apology on the bill, and it's not for the size of the bill, because I think that's actually probably creating good Oregon jobs at 307 pages to print it out. But I wanted to apologize for the first word, which is it says abolishes the State Department of Energy. And while that was the technical term that came back from LC, it really is, I think, a mischaracterization of the intent of this bill. The intent of this bill is to effectuate a restructuring and an elevation of this department so that it can carry out what really is the necessary functions of the energy planning role that is desperately needed in this state to help us move forward over the next decade and more with a clear plan of how we intend to grow businesses around the energy economy, to plan for transmission lines, to plan for siting, and to understand when and how and where we're going to get our power and where we're going to use it, and to help state agencies and the private market understand where we're going and align to that plan. This bill came out of a and I also want to say that I think that there's some great technical staff and some good work that's being done at the Department of Energy, and I would hope that we were able to retain some of that expertise as we move forward. This bill really came out of a desire to combat the problem of uncertainty. And as we talked with Oregon businesses, there were several businesses and some very recent examples of businesses that had, for example, wanted to come and locate and create jobs in the state of Oregon, clean energy businesses, but were caught a little bit between two masters, caught between talking with Business Oregon and caught between talking with Oregon Department of Energy and really trying to figure out what's the total package that they can look at in terms of the kinds of financing and the loans and the incentives and those sorts of things to do job creation in this state. Some of you who are familiar with the discussions around the business energy tax credit from the February session and from the last full session will recall that we had discussions in the Revenue Committee around the opportunity of moving the manufacturing portion of the Business Energy Tax Credit from the Department of Energy to Business Oregon. And there was, I think, a pretty compelling case laid out for why that makes sense. This was really then sort of part of the logical next step in thinking through the fact that we have an agency, the Oregon Department of Energy, that does a lot of different things, but to some degree has some portions that are duplicative of roles that other agencies and other entities can play. And that the one thing that we ought to be doing in coordination with the kinds of ideas that the governor laid forth in his campaign and in his first few weeks in office is that we ought to be setting out, as he called it, a 10-year energy strategy or more. And having an entity that has the ability to be elevated above those agencies to create that kind of plan and then say, what are the tools in the toolbox that we have at each of the other agencies and how can we align those tools to meet that plan, whether that's the kinds, you know, what are the businesses that we need to go out and grow and attract, where do we need to put the power lines, how do we make sure that we're the left hand knows what the right hand's doing when we're working across service territories and jurisdictions. All of that really is, I think, an appropriate role for a governor's office of energy. And that's really what this bill does, is creates that entity and streamlines this process to have a more efficient system and to create more certainty. Now, we're not just firing in the dark here. The state of Colorado went through a similar process. Governor Ritter came in and went through a similar restructuring and created a governor's energy office in the state of Colorado that really has become a national model for how to do energy planning and siting. It was my hope that we were going to be able to get the director of the Colorado governor's energy office to be on the phone for this hearing. Unfortunately, it came up very quickly and we weren't able to arrange that. But perhaps we might be able to have a subsequent session or be able to distribute to the committee a letter around their experience in Colorado, but it has been very positive. And so as we're looking at doing that restructuring and setting up that office, the question then becomes, where do the individual programs go and what is the function of that office? One of the, I would say, you may hear this from other folks that are that may or may not come up and testify, one of the primary concerns I've heard has been around, well, we know how the rules of the game work at the Department of Energy, and we're used to that status quo. What happens when you change those rules of the game? And that's primarily that concern has come up around siting and the FSEC process, the Energy Facility Siting Council. Now, that is a council that's currently staffed by the Department of Energy. It would be the intention for that process to continue to be staffed by the Governor's Energy Office and hopefully to have as little of a change as possible through that FSEC process because that is one that, assuming technical and competent staff, I think a lot of folks have been happy with, although we may or may not hear testimony otherwise. Another concern that has come up is around regulation of consumer-owned utilities that are obviously owned by their customers and owned by their consumers and want to be able to maintain that autonomy to be able to respond to their customers and consumers appropriately according to their local needs. It is the intention of this bill that we would actually continue to have them report through their regulatory process and their reporting requirements to the Governor's Energy Office in much the same way that they would report to the Oregon Department of Energy currently. Now, As you look at House Bill 2900 in front of you, you'll note that it's very long and that there are still some placeholders for those things that I just discussed within that bill. I would characterize House Bill 2900 as written as definitely the starting point of the discussion, and we would invite stakeholders to continue to participate in the crafting of this process, and obviously the committee to lend its expertise to how best to accomplish the goals that I think are laid out for that bill. Part of the challenge will be that, as all of you understand very well, the policy implications of any changes within House Bill 2900 are going to carry with them complex budgetary and agency restructuring needs and consequences that go along with those policy changes. And so one of our hopes is that this committee can dive into the policy issues and perhaps make some recommendations about the policy goals and parameters and what this bill ought to accomplish. And then I believe that a lot of the guts of the work will likely be done in the Ways and Means process, and this bill does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means in order to ensure that we are getting those agency structures right that align to the policy interests that this committee will express, hopefully. In that Ways and Means process, one of the things that we will be looking at, obviously, is the Energy Supplier Assessment, the ESA, which goes to fund the Department of Energy. And through that process, my hope is that we are able to find some savings there by creating more efficiency and more streamlining. And I have made a commitment that we would not increase the ESA to pay for this restructuring and for this bill, because part of the idea here is that we want to streamline, to create efficiency, to create a program that works better, and to make sure that we're able to have a process that works for all of the customers and utilities that that pay for the services that the Department of Energy currently provides. I've been very pleased to work closely on this bill with Senator Edwards. Have been in close coordination with the incoming administration, as well as with Senator Dingfelder and others, Representative Mike McClain, and talking through all the different parameters there. I believe you have a letter from Senator Dingfelder in front of you. You should also have a one-pager description, a bit of a frequently asked questions on House Bill 2900 in front of you, as well as an editorial from the Oregonian that was published in December, I believe, editorializing in favor of at least the concept. Now, I can't speak for other members. I would say that the general perception has been is that there is a desire to continue to work on this, a desire to move forward with the conversation around the goals and the values that are expressed in the bill, but clearly it will need a lot of work to move forward if it's going to be done right. So that's where I believe that we are within the process, and why don't I pause there and let Senator Edwards jump in, and happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Chris Edwards. I'm state senator in North Eugene, West Eugene, and Junction City. It's no secret to anybody in this room that our state is looking at some interesting budgetary times. And as a member of the Ways and Means Committee, I've been wrestling with this, just exactly what it is that we're going to do on a number of fronts for many months. I think this is going to be one of those sessions that's not just about this biennium, but it's about the next decade or two decades. And the interesting political situation that we find ourselves, that you find yourselves in the House with a split, certainly makes for some interesting politics around issues and budgets and power sharing and all that. And we have a very narrow margin of control in the Senate. So this session, I mean, is going to be hallmarked by bipartisanship. I think it's going to be hallmarked by reforms, and it's going to be hallmarked by doing things that are just the right thing to do. And so in that vein, I kept an open mind when Representative Bailey first approached me with this concept, and we started talking about it. Certainly had my share of questions, and I think that the vision that he laid out for me was compelling, and he was able to answer all of my concerns to my satisfaction, and so I've signed on in support of the bill, and am looking forward to working with him and other co-sponsors of the bill more, not only from a policy perspective, but from a budgetary perspective. I am the co-chair of the Natural Resources Subcommittee of Ways and Means, which has the Oregon Department of Energy's budget, so it's certainly relevant to the work that we're doing down there. And I think that, you know, from a pure policy perspective, whether it's improving economic development in the state, whether it's streamlining governmental processes, eliminating duplication, and improving energy planning, for all of those reasons, I think that this concept has a lot of merit, and I thank you for taking the bill up and giving it its due consideration.
Thank you both for your testimony, kicking this thing off. To Representative Bailey's first point, I can't speak for the committee, but I accept your apology.
Thank you, Mr. Kosher.
One of the reasons that I agreed with Co-Chair Cannon to hear this was because of the two of you and your history on some of these issues and your flexibility in working in a bipartisan manner. So I'm glad you both brought this forward. Somebody must have told you a long time ago, Representative Bailey, to go big or don't go or go home. But in fairness, my committee administrators pointed out that there are nine substantive pages to the bill, and then 9 through 187 really are conforming amendments. So don't, those of you who have not had a chance to read this, don't be scared. But this is huge. So this is the beginning of a conversation. I think that was your phrase, and I think Senator Dingfelder said the same thing, that she's glad to start this conversation about some pretty big changes. But I think you've articulated some very important issues, particularly a state that has put a stake in the ground that economic development is, in a very large way, going to be around energy development and alternative energy and so forth. So rethinking that and doing that right instead of just an economic development policy that comes over top, I think, is extremely important if we really are going to design policies that encourage folks to come and to stay and to explore alternative energy opportunities that are good for Oregon and good for jobs. So I'm glad we're starting this conversation. So before we dismiss these two, does the committee have any questions for either the senator or the representative? Co-Chair Ken.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for the presentation. Could you articulate a little more about the planning role that you envision for some entity? Within the bill as drafted, you've noted there's a lot of placeholder language. One thing that I was particularly interested in finding was that central planning function. As we wrestle with decisions, every legislature around siting, around transmission, around to what extent, you know, natural gas will be a part of our energy future, or to what extent greenhouse gas reductions are a part of our energy future, we don't have a blueprint to draw from, and it makes those discussions occur kind of in a strange and unsynchronized way. How do you envision the statewide energy planning going on under this kind of reformed energy structure?
Co-Chair Gilliam, Co-Chair Cannon, thank you for the question that really gets to the heart of the bill. And I would first say that within those 9 pages at the front of the bill, and don't bother reading the rest of the bill, there's nothing in there, that it is not well articulated within the current draft of the bill, but it is our intention to really put a fine point to that particular issue. I would say that your use of the phrase strange and unsynchronized when it comes to our energy planning is probably the best description that I've heard so far. You know, as we think about the huge major issues that we've been grappling with in the state around energy planning, whether that's whether we're going to develop wave energy off the coast and how that intersects with all of the coastal and fishing interests off the coast, or whether it's the closure of the Boardman coal plant and the leadership role that PGE has taken on that issue, but then how that relates to biomass generation facilities, distributed boilers versus large-scale boilers, and how that relates to the need to build a large storage facilities that can store that energy like you would find with a hydrogen hub. How would
their motion to pass this bill?
How do those pieces fit together? We have folks down in Klamath County that have a business that's headquartered up in Portland that are looking at building a pump storage facility to store energy. What are the costs? What are the benefits? Where do those go? How do they work together? And what are the trade-offs between them? And if we're having a debate about one thing, you know, it's sort of like a waterbed. You push down over here and it bubbles up over here. And how do we start to better understand and get our arms around all of that when we're making those decisions? And then once we have a sense of how that process works, how does that then go towards our policy with regards to agencies? Does it mean that we need to restructure our incentive program so that we're more tightly focused on manufacturing one area, or renewables, or traditional sources of energy, or transmission? How do all those pieces align? And that's really the piece that we've been missing, and that I think our governor has articulated well in his desire to plan for the future. But that plan function doesn't currently really have a place to live or sit. And giving it the juice of the governor, whoever the governor ends up being in the future, and having that sort of elevated position and the ability to work with the natural resources advisor and be able to work with the heads of the other agencies to align to that plan is really the heart of this bill.
And follow up. Are you wedded to the notion that that planning would occur, the plan would be adopted by a director who is appointed by the governor, essentially works for a governor? Is that the model? I think that's how it's proposed in this bill. Is that the model that you're advocating for, that this is a governor's office position who creates a, whatever it is, 10-year, 20-year energy plan for the state?
I'm going to parse, Co-Chair Gilliam, Co-Chair Karen, I'm going to parse your question just a little bit and say that the intention of having it in the governor's office and what we've seen in other states is that that gives it a certain status, a certain ability to help be that coordinating entity and that function in a way that having an agency do it that is co-equal with other agencies doesn't necessarily accomplish. That said, I would expect and I would hope, and I am absolutely open to the discussion around how do we ensure a good stakeholder process into that, and so that everybody from urban communities to rural communities to the folks that, you know, represent Krieger's district that might be affected and represent Boone's district that might be affected by wave energy and represent Witt's district, or, you know, folks in rural Oregon or folks that are affected by pipeline issues or all of those different things have the ability to have their say in that input into the process. But absolutely, we'd want to have that be in an elevated position.
Hmm. Representative Krieger.
You used the words, you like the words, I guess it was strange, unsynchronized, and add underpowered.
Underpowered.
Thank you both. We'll move on with, we've got three other folks today, and we'll continue the discussion. Thank you, Senator, for being here. We're welcome to stay, you know that.
I know. I got a TV.
Okay.
In his big cushy office.
We have three folks that have signed up to testify today, and I'd like to call them up. Kevin Owens, Ted Case, and John, I'm going to say Audley, A-U-D-L-E-Y. Ted, do you mind starting?
Sure. Co-Chair Gilliam, Co-Chair Cannon, members of the committee. My name is Ted Case, and I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Rural Electric Cooperative Association. OREC-A represents 18 electric cooperatives in Oregon, serving over 200,000 members, 30,000 miles of line. And a recent Oregon State University study indicated that we directly and indirectly generate 3,000 jobs in rural Oregon. So I appreciate the opportunity to testify today on HB 2900. Oregon Electric Co-ops have worked with the professionals at ODO for many years on coordinating and regulatory functions, and we do help pay for the agency through the energy supplier assessment. We also take advantage of some of the tax incentives administered by the department. As you have heard, Representative Bailey is well aware of our concerns, starting in Section 206 of the bill, dealing with moving the functions of the consumer-owned utilities from the Department of Energy over to the Public Utility Commission. As Representative Bailey noted, we are owned by the members that we serve. Electric co-op boards are elected locally, and moving over to the PUC for that jurisdiction we think would be somewhat confusing and a stratified regulatory scheme that we don't think is in the best interest of our members. So we certainly appreciate Representative Bailey's accommodation and willingness to discuss that issue. As he said, this is a starting point in the bill, and so we look forward to working with the committee on that. As noted, this is a very, very ambitious bill. It is a starting point. A lot of issues need to be raised, but if there's going to be a conversation, we certainly want to be a part of it. So appreciate the opportunity to testify today.
I'm going to pause each time and just see if the committee members have questions for individual testimonies. Anything for Ted Case? No? All right.
Thank you. Co-Chairs Cannon, Co-Chair Gilliam, members of the committee. My name's Kevin Owens. I'm the General Manager of Columbia River PUD in St. Helens, and I'm here on behalf of the Oregon PUD Association Legislative Committee. I'm here today to acknowledge the work of the current staff and management of the Oregon Department of Energy under its current director, Bob Repine. They have been incredibly responsive to our questions, our concerns, and very eager to engage us in their policy-making process. Our interest in this bill is really focused at the impact on our customers should the legislature decide to transfer ODO's responsibilities to other administrative agencies and the executive branch. Our customers, your constituents, have repeatedly endorsed and voted for that local control that you heard Ted and Representative Bailey mention earlier of their electricity provider. Our customers believe that those people that are living and working in the community know best is what's works best in those communities from their electricity provider. That concept definitely needs to be preserved under any administrative structure that comes forth out of this process. Of equal importance is our ability to control costs of our electricity. That means controlling the cost of the ESA as it's now embedded in this bill. Any additional burden on ESA outside of its statutory purposes is effectively just another new tax on our customers. Whatever the course of action in this legislation, I think we all need to be mindful that we have important work that's currently underway with ODO staff and the utilities that can't be lost in the shuffle. The work's got to continue going forward. In closing, I wanted to thank Representative Bailey for meeting with our Oregon PUD Association Legislative Committee here a few weeks ago. We're very confident that he understands our concerns regarding local control, our efforts at controlling costs, and we certainly look forward to continuing in working with you on this matter going forward. And as Ted said earlier, we certainly want to be part of the discussion moving forward. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Owens from the committee? Okay, we'll go to our final testifier. Please.
Co-Chair Gilliam, Co-Chair Cannon, my name is John Audley. I am the Deputy Director of the Renewable Northwest Project. For about 18 years, RNP has been a staunch advocate for responsibly sited renewable energy. in Montana, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington. Our headquarters are here in Portland, or up there in Portland, in part because this is where the Bonneville Power Administration operates. Over the past 5 years, the renewable energy industry has invested about $5 billion in energy generation facilities, primarily in natural resource-dependent communities on the dry side of the state. Those investments have created thousands of jobs in natural resource-dependent communities, paying taxes critical to the health of public schools, rural road maintenance, and have helped to sustain ways of life for ranchers and farmers across the state. A dozen of the world's largest renewable energy companies have located in Portland as a result of their interest in the state, and I'm proud to call many of those companies members of my organization. Over the years, the Oregon Department of Energy has played a critical role in assisting these companies make decisions with regard to responsible siting of their facilities, and in particular, the Business Energy Tax Credit and Residential Energy Tax Credit have been important tools that the agency has administered. For a variety of reasons, both related to the health of the state, the ability to sustain investments in these opportunities, and in the administration of the Department of Energy, I think it's fair to say that these companies struggle in their efforts to continue to plan and operate facilities here in Oregon. It's for this reason that we are very interested in the bill Representative Bailey has put forward, and hope that you continue to urge this discussion to take place. Like the gentleman to my left, these are important matters to the state. We want to make sure that we do it in a way that protects ratepayers' interests. We don't want to do this in a way that is irresponsible with regard to what the state can afford to pay. There are many questions that arise out of the bill, but on behalf of the Renewable Northwest Project, this is a conversation we must have. The status quo is unacceptable. We look to you to support this discussion, and we hope that we are in a position to be a part of that conversation. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today.
Thank you, Mr. Adler. Any questions for Mr. Adler? Thank all three of you for coming and for your comments. Broadly, you did not have prepared remarks, correct?
No, sir.
Okay.
You have plenty to read already.
All right. I want to make sure that anybody that's here who hasn't signed up but would still like to speak or be, make themselves available, I'm speaking not just to, but particularly to the agencies in the room, PUC, Business Oregon, and the Department of Energy. You're certainly welcome to come up if we would, if the committee would indulge more questions. Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. If I might make a quick comment about that, just to say that it is my hope that we can engage openly in the discussion around any concerns that arise for the bill. I think that they're having a debate around the policy issues is very important. I think there are some legitimate concerns out there. I think we can address a lot of those concerns that are out there, and it would be my hope that the members of this committee and that the public and the stakeholders would be willing and feel open to having that discussion and ask the challenging questions and engage in those answers.
Good. Co-Chair Cannon and I are going to talk a little bit about this, but obviously there's other avenues to continue the conversation during this session, whether it be work groups or whatever, but we'll have more about that later.
Mr. Co-Chair, before we close, because I get the sense that you're heading towards closure on this, I do want to just make one comment, which is really to commend Representative Bailey and Senator Edwards for taking this on. I mean, here is an issue. This is a big project. It's a tough project. There is not a natural constituency who's pushing for this and saying, you know, this is the reason why we help you get elected, go out and do this. This is a project that I believe is really motivated by a, you know, desire to improve the economic development climate in Oregon, a desire to help make government more efficient. And who knows whether we get there or not this session, but I am so grateful that we have champions like Representative Bailey and Senator Edwards to help prod us along, and I hope the committee will engage in this, and you know, Representative Gilliam and I will be talking about how to do that moving forward, but really appreciate that we have this opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you.
Same. Thank you. So, sensing no need on the part of the committee for the questions and no rush from the rest of the crowd up to the dais, I am going to close first public hearing on House Bill 2900 and declare the House Committee on Energy, Environment, and Water adjourned.